I'm gonna say so.
So we are holding at the bottom of test number days, 8 lines from the bottom. Line begins with Oberes, and that's where we're holding. Okay, so we said in the Mishnah, Oberes Mishiyavada Ubra, we said among the four women that die a shaita, one of them is a pregnant woman, and we said the definition of when she's pregnant is when she starts showing. We're not showing, and we're going to see in the Gemara, doesn't necessarily mean like her stomach, as in her stomach starts sticking out. It means when we start seeing, or when she starts feeling the symptoms of pregnancy.
Said last time that when it shows.
Ah, okay, so then let me correct that. What it means is actually, okay, so Vakama, so we'll see. So let's live in the Gemara. Vakama Hakora Sa'uber, at what point is it considered to be that we can see that she's pregnant? So Sumchot says in the name of Rameir that it's 3 months. The Apophi chain Rayal Adover, even though there's not a solid proof from it, so for that from a Pasuk, Zechal Adover, but we have a hint, we have like a reminiscence of it from a Pasuk Shanema, because you have in the story of Tamar, where she and Yehuda had relations, and then he didn't know who she was, etc. So by Hikim the Shloish Chadashim with them, it says when it was at the 3 month point, then Yehuda was informed your daughter in law is pregnant, and everything developed from there. So what do you mean? The Gemara says Zechal Adover. What do you mean? It's only a reminiscence of the thing. Kroksiv, the Pasuk says 3 months, the Raya Gdoli. It should be a solid proof. The answer is Mishum Deigni. Because if the Pasuk is saying 3 months, and then it's saying that then they told Yehuda that his daughter-in-law is pregnant, so obviously that means before 3 months, you can't tell us. Otherwise, they would have known earlier. The answer is fine, but Mishum Deigni de Yolda Lokesh, Kim Mishloish means at the point of 3 months. A kuf can sometimes mean like, meaning approximately, but sometimes it can mean at the time. A cough can also sometimes mean...
It can also mean...
So sometimes a cough and a pasuk means at the time of. Kedaber, for example, doesn't mean approximately when it spoke. Kim Mishloish means when it became... When it became three. Rashi explains on the pasuk over there. Anyway. So I'll tell you a second what Rashi says on the pasuk. Okay. First, let's finish what the Gemara is saying over here. But the Gemara is assuming that Kim Mishloish Chadoshim, and Rashi explains as much on the pasuk, it means at the point when it became 3 months. The mem over here is not from. The mem over here is an agent. It is an agent of prefix or whatever it's called in linguistics. The kaf doesn't mean around. It means at the time of. So at the time of 3 months, then Yehuda was informed, etc. Gemara says, what do you mean? What do you mean? It's only a reminiscence of the thing. Krosiv, the prophet says 3 months. Raya Gdoli, it should be a solid proof. The answer is Mishum de'ikad yoldel test de'ikad yoldel shiva, because not all women give birth after 9 months pregnancy. Some of them give birth after a 7 month pregnancy. It's got to do because if we have babies that are born in the 7th month, meaning in other words that their pregnancy is accelerated, then meaning that the development of the baby is accelerated. Just a second. The development of the baby is accelerated. Again, forget what you learned in medical school for a moment. Nishtanuatidin, first of all. No. Okay, listen. Listen. There is a concept in halacha that it's part that babies develop on two tracks. We have this all over in tracks. We're going to have this later on in Amos Echta as well, I believe. Some babies develop on a 9 month track, others develop on a 7 month. That's how the Gemara establishes it. Now, therefore, a baby that develops on a 7 month, we have mentioned this concept many times.
No.
No, what it means, in other words, the Gemara says, therefore, that you can have a baby that's born during the 7th month, and it's not premature, it's fully formed, and it's a regular birth. So the point is, therefore, such a baby, listen. So, I don't know scientific, I know Gemara. Okay, so let's...
Avraham Moshe. Let me finish a second.
Yes, I know what you're going to say. First of all, there is unquestionably Nishtanu Ativim. In our Gemara alone, in our Sugya, we actually see it because the Gemara is going to be talking about that this period of 24 months after a woman gives birth, whether we're going to talk about whether she's producing milk, whether she's not, as the case may be, different opinions about whether she menstruates during that time. Nowadays, most women who nurse do menstruate as well, and certainly the ones who don't, all of them do.
Most women do.
In addition, you also have, in addition, the vice...
Most women do not menstruate when
they
nurse.
No, that's not true. And second of all, I know.
How can you tell me a thing like that?
I can tell you.
In any medical journal.
I don't know any medical journal. I know from...
Do not menstruate when they nurse.
Okay, many of them do. Many of them do. Okay, second of all, from our Gemara, it's very clear that only when the pregnancy is noticeable, only then does she stop menstruating. Whereas nowadays, generally, they stop menstruating as soon as they become pregnant. So there is unquestionably, in the time, look what we're saying over here. We're saying up to 3 months in the pregnancy, it's normal for her to still be menstruating. And nowadays, that's not... Should we start the Gemara over? You know, were we paying attention before? The Kama Hakara to Ubra, at what point do we say Hukar Ubra? We recognize the pregnancy and then, only then, does she have a Chazaka Meseleket Damim. Up until that point, it's still normal for her to menstruate. Sumchus Omer Meshurim Meir Shlosha Chadashim. So there you see that up until 3 months, it was normal, whereas nowadays it's not. That is a clear example of Mishtanu HaKibra.
That
Akarasa
Uber means menstruation.
What are we talking about in our Mishnah over here? What is the subject of our Mishnah? When we say Daya Shaita, when we say that if a woman menstruates, then we say that she's only Tomei from then on, versus when do we say that she's Tomei for up to 24 hours before, or up to the last Bedika, which was the subject of our fast. We said that there are four cases where Daya Shaita. One of them is a pregnant woman. And when do we start applying Daya Shaita? When do we say, in other words, she's Meseleket Damim, that at that point it's normal for her to not menstruate anymore, only 3 months into the pregnancy?
What do you think? Within 3 months of the pregnancy?
How did you guys know I was
what?
Okay, I didn't know.
No one knew.
Okay. What we're saying over here is the Mishnah...
What do you see in the Mishnah? The
first
2 months of pregnancy, she's menstruating. I want to
go. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Arba Nashim Dayan Shaitan, Bumer Sulam Ubedas Menikarus Kena. Meaning, up until that point is Me'esles. Why is it Me'esles? Because normally they're menstruating. And therefore, we have the usual rule for any woman who menstruates that 24 hours, Me'esles. Only once, Hulka Ubra, only then do we take that away and we say we go back to Gaia Shaita. That means, that implies that up until that point, it's normal for her to be menstruating. And nowadays, that's not the case. There is a clear example of Nishtanu Ativim. So now, returning to our Gemara, and we shouldn't have to have every time we learn Gemara in this Masechta, we shouldn't have to have a whole long side discussion about science versus Torah. We will have those discussions another time.
You know that when a woman is pregnant, when she receives blood, it is menstruation. How do you know that?
Okay, is it uterine blood? That's what we care about. You don't want to call it menstruation. You want to call it something else. It's uterine blood. It comes from the uterine.
How do you know it's uterine blood?
Well, if you have reason to think that not, then you do a bedikah.
You always have reason to think that not, but it's not about reason. It's about proof. How can you say
the chazaka,
that a blood pregnancy is a menstruation? I'm not
Okay, the halacha is, and we're going to learn in the next parak, that blood that we find in the vaginal canal, in particular, if we find it further in than the lul, which we will talk about in the next parak what that is,
okay,
is assumed to be from the... That be from the uterus, because most blood in that part of the body comes from the uterus. Whereas nowadays, your average woman who's pregnant, as soon as she becomes pregnant, as soon as, for example, she takes a pregnancy test, which is far earlier than 3 months, then already all bleeding from that part of her body stops, and therefore she's Tahor for her husband the entire 9 months. And here we're saying that not. Yes, that's how it is.
No, menstruation starts bleeding, not necessarily. And when there is a bleed in pregnancy, it doesn't mean that it's a menstruation. It can be any other cause.
Nowadays, women do not bleed during their pregnancy, period.
No.
Whereas in those days,
they may need drink.
No, they don't.
Oh, yes.
And if they do, it's actually an emergency medical situation.
They do.
Avraham Moshe. Do you want to learn Gemara or do you want to talk medicine?
We're trying to learn Gemara.
No. Stop.
I'll teach Gemara.
Okay.
I'm accepting what you say.
Then let's learn Gemara. Because I was in the middle of trying to explain something about 7 months versus 9 months, and you interrupted it with this whole long thing saying that you believe it's not so. Well, what you believe doesn't matter.
It's evidence-based. It's not a belief.
In halacha, which is what we're talking about over here, women, a pregnancy can be for 7 months, a pregnancy can be for 9 months. It's not like you think.
8 months?
No. In fact, if it is, no, it cannot. A baby born during the 8th month in halacha is considered non-viable. Again, is that necessarily the case nowadays? No, it is not. Nishtanu hativin. Let's not be denying what the Gemara says. The Gemara tells us, as a factual matter, which the Chachamim knew, from practical experience, as well as from Sod Hashem Mireyav, because they learned from Hashem himself, who created these things, that a pregnancy can be a 7 months pregnancy, and the baby develops fully normally. We're not talking about nowadays where they got to put them in an incubator or whatever, because they didn't have incubators in those days. Okay. So then, in that case, what we're saying over here, some women have pregnancies for 7 months, and in that case, that means the baby is growing at an accelerated rate, and in that case, that may mean that the baby, that the pregnancy is visible earlier than 3 months. That is why it's not a raya gzoila. That is why it's only a zeicha l'dover, because not necessarily with Tamar was it a 9 month pregnancy. And in fact, getting back to what you were asking before, Rashi on the Pasuk, in fact, brings from the Medrash a different opinion about it, which is that in fact Tamar was pregnant for only 7 months, and with Peretz and Zerach, and that in fact the kimishloish chadashim does not mean, as the Gemara is assuming over here, 3-4 months, but rather it means part of the first month, the entire second month, and part of the third month, meaning we're talking 2 months and a fraction, and then the pregnancy was visible. So our Gemara obviously does not agree with that explanation, because our Gemara is said, but nevertheless, the Gemara is saying it is a potential explanation of the pasuk. Therefore, on the one hand, it is a zeicha l'dover, that it takes 3 months for the pregnancy to be visible, but it's not a raya gdola because it might take less. And in fact, there was a
Rashi
from Parshas Vayishev with Tamar. In fact, Gemara and Sanhedrin takes up the same question and doesn't come to a conclusion. If a woman is pregnant with a 7 month pregnancy, will she start showing after 2 months and 1/3, or will she start showing after 3? And the Gemara there doesn't reach a solid conclusion. So
that woman was not walking without clothes.
Who said anything about walking without clothes?
Okay, so it's completely different. She was clothed. When you're clothed, it's very difficult to say.
Furthermore, we are going to see in the Gemara when she starts showing, and furthermore, we're going to see in the Gemara, it's also when she starts feeling symptoms. So let us continue with the Gemara, and if you want to talk about the medical aspect of it, I'm willing to talk about the medical aspect of it after.
Completely disconnected.
Then, okay. Turn it up. We learn in a blessing. Now, Harei Shahoyt Pachazkut Mo'ben.
Do you mind not rolling this thing when we have the shiv?
We'll do it a little more quietly, please. Turn it up on. Harei Shahoyt Pachazkut Mo'ben. Suppose that a woman has... Just finishing this, putting it over there. No, we're not ready. Harei Shahoyt Pachazkut Mo'ben. Suppose a woman has a chazaka of being pregnant. So we see already she's showing, etc. V'roth Saddam. And then she, during that pregnancy, she does have a flow of blood. And by the way, the whole point is we're not saying it's impossible for women to have blood during that time. It's uncommon, and therefore it's uncommon.
Avraham
Moshe.
It doesn't correlate. Let's go.
It's uncommon.
I don't want to talk about theory.
I am trying to explain what the Gemara is saying over here. So if you don't want to listen,
Cheskas
Mubes. It's uncommon for, but even in those days, it
should be pregnant.
It is possible, even in those days, for them to have blood. It was just uncommon. Okay.
Before you just said...
No,
that,
when she's pregnant,
there is no blood.
Listen. It is possible for it to happen. However, in those times, what you had is, before the 3 months, it it was equally common for her to have blood as during any other time when she's not pregnant. After 3 months, it would be a very uncommon situation, whereas nowadays it's equally uncommon during the entire pregnancy. There's no before 3 months and after 3 months. That is where we have Nishtanu Akivim. That is where we have it. What we're saying over here, it is possible for it to happen after 3 months, but it's uncommon. But what we're saying is before that, it's equally common as it would be any other time during her life. Whereas nowadays, that's not the case. And there was, in fact, a tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein dealing with the Gemara and the medical aspect of it and pointing that out. Now, that is that nowadays, there's no difference between before 3 months and after 3 months, whereas in those times, there was.
I'm just telling you, each case is different. With 3 months, you have bleeds. After 3 months, you also have bleeds.
Which is just what I said. That's exactly what
you said. No. During the first 3 months, it's more common than after the first 3 months.
Which is what the Gemara is telling us here was in those times. Whereas nowadays, it's not so. So you were denying, you're saying, no, understand what's happening. I'm telling you, there's an actual example. No, you're saying, like, you're poo-pooing the Nishtanu Akivim and saying that's an
excuse.
Okay.
To apply to that time what is today.
Then I never said we should. I didn't say we should. I was saying the Nishtanu Akivim.
People bleed, women bleed during their pregnancy.
And in those times, they also did. But the difference is nowadays there's no difference between 3 months, between before 3 months and after 3 months, whereas in those times there was.
A few minutes ago you said they don't bleed during their pregnancy. Now we have a pasuk of the Gemara that if she says Cheska Mubarak,
Lord Almighty, it is possible for them to. Of course, many things are possible.
Yes.
But nowadays,
that's what I was saying.
Okay. And that's what I was saying also. But the difference,
no. During a pregnancy.
Avraham Moshe. What I'm saying is like this. In general, nowadays, women do not bleed during their pregnancy. If they do, it's highly unusual, and there's nothing before 3 months or after 3 months. Whereas on Mishnah, there's no difference between before 3 months and after 3 months in that regard.
In terms of what?
On the other hand, in the times of the Gemara, as we see from our Mishnah and our Gemara, they did continue to have fairly regular periods during their first 3 months. Only once 3 months were reached did that go away, and they're generally not menstruating, and at that point, if they have blood from the uterus, it's a highly unusual thing. That is the point. That is exactly the point. I may have said it inelegantly, but that is the point. Nowadays, for the entire 9 months, there's no bleeding from the uterus. Sometimes there is. In those times, there was very commonly during the first 3 months, regular periods, and after the remaining 6 months, there was not. That's the difference. There isn't. That was the point I was getting at. Okay.
You've expressed it now correctly.
Fine. So a woman has a chazaka of being pregnant. So she has bleeding during that time. Later on, she miscarried air, meaning it was like an empty sack or something, or any kind of non-viable baby, she still retains her chazaka of having been pregnant, the daya shaita. And therefore, we say, regarding that bleeding that happened during that, what turned out to be basically a false pregnancy, is nevertheless daya shaita.
Meaning that
we don't make her tummy for 24 hours before it. Because having been cheskas moberes, having been that she's starting to show, etc., 3 months have passed, whatever, we assume that she's not menstruating anymore. Therefore, we go back to the rule of our Mishnah. She's mesulakas domin, and therefore daya shaita.
So 1 second. Let's be consistent here. We say Darshan, we don't go back 24 hours because
right.
We assume that...
that normally she's not going to bleed during that time.
Okay, so it wasn't frequent.
Okay. That's during the last 6 months we're talking about. Cheskas Moberes means that 3 months have already passed. We're talking during the last
6 months?
We're talking after the last 3 months. Yeah, we're talking...
Cheskas
Moberes means after 3 months. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Again, even though we don't have a solid proof that a false pregnancy like that or a pregnancy that results in a miscarriage of nothing is considered a pregnancy, again, we have a memorial of it, a reminiscence of it. We've been pregnant, we've had labor pains, and it's like we've given birth to air. The metaphor in the pasuk is like we Jewish people, we've gone through all the sufferings and galus, and we expect that any moment Mashiach is going to come, and then he's not coming yet. So the Gemara asks again, my zeichel adavah. What do you mean again? It's only a reminiscence. Hari raya gdoli. Isn't it a solid proof that you see over there? Yolabnu ruach, that we gave birth to wind.
Yes,
yeah, that would show that it's considered an actual pregnancy. The answer is kiksiv, high krov, it's korim kiksiv. Okay, but the pasuk is only a metaphor. It's talking about the Jewish people collectively who are like a man.
See, the pasuk was
it's a pasuk. It's a pasuk in Yeshaya. Oh, that's not a matter of halacha. It's a matter of establishing facts. It's a matter of Raya would mean that we see from there in a concept that a pregnancy like that can be called a pregnancy. But now we're saying it's only a Zeicha Ladova because after all the pasuk is only saying it as a metaphor. It's not literally talking about a woman. Okay. Or a mini. The Gemara says, I have a contradiction to all of this stuff. We just said that if she miscarries afterwards, she miscarries an empty sack or something. We said she's still considered that she was pregnant up until that point, and the halacha of a pregnant woman, including Daya Shaita, applied to her. But we learn later on in our Masech that we talked yesterday briefly about the matter of Kishuri, where she has pre-birth bleeding for a couple of days. And we said if that comes out during her Yemei Ziva, then she's not considered a Zava for that, unless there was, as we said in the Gemara over there, we said a coin to Rabbi Yezir, which is the Halacha, unless there was a period when the labor pains calmed down, and 24 hours or more, and only then she gave birth. So the Braisa says, Kish Sashnayim, if she had bleeding from labor pains for 2 days during the 11 days Ziva, was a Shlishi Pilaruach. And the third one, Rashi explains the third day she also had blood, but then later that same day, on the third day, she miscarried an empty sack.
Kishsa
meaning Miloshin Koshi, Miloshin difficulty. She had labor pains accompanied by bleeding. So the Shlishi Pilaruach, on the third day, she had also bleeding, Rashi said, and then she...
6 months?
We're talking during the 6 months. We're talking at the end of the pregnancy, obviously, yeah. So we're talking after the 3 months, yeah. Well, the Shlishi Pilaruach, on the third day, she also bled, and then later that day, she miscarried an empty sack, or anything that's not a viable baby. We say it's not considered that the bleeding can only be attributed to the baby only if it was a viable baby. We're going to learn those details in the fourth paragraph. Yeledes Bezoiv means, in effect, she has to combine together the dinim of the truma of a Yeledes and the dinim of the truma of a Zava. We're going to talk about it in detail in the fourth paragraph, what that entails exactly, but basically what it means is that, like this, you have a woman who gives birth, normally as Tomei, 7 days afterwards for a boy and 14 for a girl, whether there's bleeding during that time or not, and after that she can go to the mikveh and she's mutter to her husband. If she's Yeledes Bezoiv, she needs at some point during that period, she needs 7 clean days. She needs 7 consecutive days with no blood. In other words, if she wasn't Yeledes Bezoiv, she could conceivably bleed. Let's say she gave birth to a girl. She could be conceivably bleeding every day for the entire 14 days, and it doesn't matter. As long as it stops at the end of the 14 days, then she's able to go to the mikveh that night, and then she's mutter to her husband. As opposed to if she was Yeledes Bezoiv, a girl, then after that she would need to have after the 14 days, when she's anyway Tomei, she'd need to have 7 clean days before she can be mutter to her husband.
A boy would be seven days.
So you have the same idea. In other words, that if she had a boy and there she had a boy, same idea. She would need 7 clean days and then yeah. Okay, anyway, that's Yeledes Bezoiv. We'll talk about that more in the fourth paragraph, but yeah, okay. So the Amit later Maliasi, now if you're telling me that given that miscarrying an empty sack or whatever is considered like a full fledged birth, Koshi Samoth later Rahman Atari. We have a rule later on when we discuss these dinim of Dam Koshi that the blood having to do with labor pains when it's right before the birth and there's no 24 hours or whatever in between is the Torah says that she's Tahar. She's not considered a Zava from it. So why over here would she be considered a Zava? Yeah, that's fine. But why is she Yeledes Bezoiv? According to this, the usual rule is, in other words, let's say she had had a healthy baby. If she had had bleeding a couple of days in advance of the birth, every day, and then she finally gives birth, then she's normal birth, even though those days were during the Yemei Ziva, even though they were during the 11 days, she's still not considered a Zava, because she's only a Zava if the bleeding is not having to do with the birth. We're going to learn about that in Malamed. So why over here would it? The answer is Amar Papi Hanach Meesles to Rabbanon. So the Papi says because yes it is considered of course it's not considered a birth. That's why that's why she would be tamei as a zava. On the other hand, the fact of the matter is Hanach Meesles to Rabbanon. Let us set aside the matter of Meesles is only the Rabbanon anyway, as we learned at the beginning of the Pater. Therefore, we're makel on it. We're makel to consider as if it was a birth, and therefore that we're not going to apply the 24-hour rule.
On what?
We're makel to say that Meesles doesn't apply. She's not telling me retroactively 24 hours. No. Listen. No. What we're saying is again, remember the situation of it here. The situation was she was 3 or 4 or 5 or whatever it is months pregnant. She had bleeding. Again, it's uncommon, but it happens. Then later on, a few months more pass, she gets to the end of the 9 months, and she miscarries an empty sac.
Right.
If we were to say meesless, we would have to go back to then when she had that bleeding, and we would have to say for 24 hours before that, any taharis she worked with are sofek tum. Instead, we're not doing that. Why is that? Even though it's not considered a birth, on a deraisa level, so midrabanan we shouldn't either. We should consider she was never pregnant in the first place, but we don't because it's only dirabanan, says your papi. So therefore, we leave her diashaka. Rapapa says a different reason. Midi hutaima. After all, what is the reason why a muberis is diashaita? Usually because she's not bleeding, because the elemishum the roisha covered alaave varer kveden alaave, because she feels the effects of the pregnancy. Her head feels heavy, her limbs feel heavy. So therefore, and that's what causes, in effect, Rashi says, it's like a form of sickness where therefore her regular menstrual periods go away. Hachanami said the same thing over here. Okay, it turns out she miscarried an empty sac. She was still carrying it. She still felt the symptoms of pregnancy. Therefore, that's reason enough to say that as far as that's concerned, as far as the meesless versus Zayashaita, we should still consider her pregnant. As far as to be a Zava, yeah, there you have the fact is, but there you say that it's only if she actually had a viable baby.
We're playing on the definition of pregnancy.
Yeah, exactly.
One is carrying a real child,
and the other one is just feeling the effects of pregnancy. Right. Okay. Which leads us to Bominator of Yumi Amidamzera, Ross of Achaka Huka Ubra. What happens, let's say, the woman has a flow of blood, and immediately afterwards, like the same day, let's say, we recognize the baby right away. Then later that day, we first notice that she starts showing. Mahu, what would be the din as far as the mass left?
Bamine means
the action. Do we say the two sides of the question are given to be idna the chazoi lehuka ubra, given that when she saw the blood, so she saw it, let's say, at 6 in the morning, only, let's say, at 5 in the afternoon that same day, do we recognize that she's pregnant? Therefore, metanya, therefore the usual mesles rule should apply. At the time, we can't consider that she had the halachic definition of pregnancy. And by the way, here you see very, very clearly that it's expected that up until the baby is noticeable, that she will be menstruating regularly. That's the point, because we're saying over here, we're only asking over here if it's the same day.
One second, we see here clearly we haven't recognized the pregnancy.
Well, that's
not the same.
But the answer is actually going to have to do with the physical symptoms that she feels, not with us seeing. There we go. The point is, even though the physical symptoms start existing, nevertheless, she still until she actually recognizes those symptoms, she's still regularly menstruating, which is not the case nowadays.
One second. So from here on, we see that until it's recognized as pregnancy, it's considered menstruation.
That's the point. And the point is, it was at that time regular enough that you wouldn't say nowadays, how does a woman often know first that she's pregnant or suspect even that she's pregnant is because she missed a period. In those days, you didn't have that. How could you first tell? Pregnancy tests they didn't have, so you had to wait until 3 months. So, why? Exactly because of that. Because those first 3 months, they were still having regular periods, whereas nowadays they don't. That's a clear case of Mishkan Rashi.
If they were having regular periods, then when they were pregnant, they did not have periods.
They have uterine bleeding. Call it whatever you want. The point is, fine. Okay, whatever. The point is, there was blood coming. Fine. The point is, there was blood coming out of the uterus. Whatever.
But here, I understand the Gemara points of view that the definition of pregnancy is not necessarily the same whether you have symptoms or you have a child.
Okay, anyway. On the one hand, when she saw the blood, the baby was not yet, it wasn't yet recognizable that she's pregnant. Therefore, mitamia, therefore the usual 24-hour rule should apply. Oy, Dilma, or maybe not, given the samach lahazoi, it was all on the same day, it was right afterwards, loy mitamia. Maybe she shouldn't be tummy the 24 hours. Amale, and well, exactly what it sounds like. We just said in the Mishnah that a pregnant woman is diashaita. So here, we find later that day that she's pregnant. Do we say diashaita for that earlier flow? Amale, and sort of zera. So it's the same thing as before. Midihu taima elamishim derosha covered alea veivarech veden alea. After all, the whole reason why we say that she's a diashaita is because she's miselekes damim. We assume that uterine bleeding, whatever you want to call it, has gone away because her head feels heavy and her limbs feel heavy. Her body is changing, her physiology is changing. Well, beidne dechazoi ein resha covered alea veinavarech veden alea. Well, in this case, earlier that day, She was not yet feeling those symptoms of pregnancy. She was not yet feeling her head or her limbs heavy. Therefore, she was not pregnant. Therefore, I mean, she was pregnant already at that point. But she, no, as far as the definition of Masalekas Damim, as far as the physiological thing, that she's still expected, to be having uterine bleeding, she's still in that case, and she's still in that situation, therefore 24 hours.
Of not being considered pregnant. Okay.
Right. Good. Okay. So now a certain old man asks Rav Yechonon, and in some places Tosfos talks about that Ahu Sava might be Eliyahu HaNavi. It's a little hard to say that over here, because why does Eliyahu HaNavi have to ask the Shaila? But okay, anyway, he asked him like this. Higia Eis Vesta B'mei Ibura. Let's talk for a minute about the vest. We mentioned it briefly the other day. We're going to talk about it in much more detail in the next
part. The vest of the period or the vest of the pregnancy?
Here we're going to be talking about pregnancy, but we're also talking about the vest. We have like this, again, you have a concept of a vest. You have a convest, really, is the proper way of saying it, but whatever. There's a certain expected time when a woman is going to menstruate. It can be, depending, we're going to learn in the fourth paragraph, we're going to talk about the details of them. It can be based on a fixed number of days. It can be based on a fixed day of the month. It can be on a progression of days of the month. There's a lot of possibilities. Anyway. There's a huge simon in Shulchan Aruch with many, many complicated interlocking. You can have interlocking ones. By the way, nowadays, most of that is not negea so much lahalacha. There is another example of Nishan Rakevim. In those times, most women have very regular cycles. Nowadays, most women do not have regular cycles.
We still count for the
Vesta Chodesh and the Onabeninus and all that.
Some
yeah. Some women do, of course, but you know, the fact of the matter is, when you look at, for example, you know, the guides that they have, printed calendars, the online calendars or whatever that they have for women, they actually have a note in there or something like, if you end up having a cycle that's very regular after a couple of months, ask the Rav for the details, because our things are not set up for that, because, you know, like, they're only set up for the irregular cycles that most women have nowadays. Yeah. Anyway, okay. So anyway, so you have like this. Let's say you have a woman, let's take the simplest example, she has her period every 30 days on the dot. So now what happens is, the question is, Higia Eis Vesta B'mei Ibura, what happens if her vest came while she's pregnant, V'loi Bodka, and she didn't do a Bedikta then?
Meaning, in other words,
the actual time, the 30th day, or let's give an example, actually, okay, I mean, we said she has to have been noticeable, the pregnancy, 3 months, or whatever, so fine. Let's talk about, for example, let's say the Gemara is going to talk about, later on, you can have, some women have unusually long cycles. We're going to deal with, you know, you can have, even nowadays, you also have, they have a fancy medical term for it, but you can have, a woman can have an unusually long cycle where she only menstruates once every 3 months.
Oh, right.
So let's say, for example, hypothetically, you have, let's say, a woman. It can happen. It's much less likely, but it happens.
Usually, long cycles, 35, 36.
Okay, but it happens. It happens. Anyway, whatever. Anyway, the point is, let's say, hypothetically, that, yes. And besides which, actually, there's another point also. Later on in the Masechta, we're going to learn, when we start talking about vestes and bedikas in more detail, we're going to talk about that if a woman has an established vest that's been established 3 or more times, then it has to be uprooted, it has to be canceled 3 times before it's considered canceled by halacha. So if she has, let's say, that she's been regularly menstruating every 30 days on the dot, and now the first time the 30th day comes, we have to assume that's going to be the day of her period. If she misses it, she has to check again the next it's still considered, okay, she missed one, but the next time, 30 days later, you have to check again. Right. Only if 3 times have passed. And, so therefore, let's say, so hypothetically, yeah, you have a woman, let's say, who has a slightly longer than normal cycle. Let's say her normal cycle, let's say, is 40 days. Fine. So she missed the first one, she missed the second. Okay, let's say even, you know, 45 days, whatever. Okay, whatever. The point is that you could easily have that a vest is still in effect because it hasn't been necked out, it hasn't been canceled 3 times, and therefore it comes during her pregnancy. So now the question is, v'loi bodka, suppose then she didn't do a bedikah. So the question is, she didn't do a bedikah for that vest that was expected to come. The question is, mahu, what is the din? And you have different explanations of it here among Rishonim. Is the question basically, do we assume, therefore, that she might be Tomei anyway? Or is the question as far as being mutter to her husband? Is the question only as far as Truma and Kodshim? Is the question whether Lachila she has to do a Bedikah or not? So this old man clarifies, my question is according to the opinion that the concept of a vest is daraisa. This that a woman has to do a bedikah at the time of her vest. That we're going to learn in the next paragraph, this is a machlokes, whether it's daraisa or darabana. Actually, Rashi says over here, daraisa bi'alacha al-moshe b'sinai, but whatever. The point is that there's one way of looking at it is that it is min hafto, that it is part of what Hashem gave to Moshe Rabbeinu.
What's daraisa moshe b'sinai?
The difference is that halacha al-moshe b'sinai, there's no pasuk for it.
Oh, okay.
Daraisa would mean that there's a pasuk for it. Whatever. There's one way of looking at it is... What?
Because how would you know that it's Moshe b'sinai?
What do you mean? He says you have an opinion. You have an opinion that it is... No, he's saying there is an opinion. There's two opinions. One is that Vestis Daraisa, the other is that Vestis Darabana. So he's saying, I'm asking according to the opinion that Vestis Daraisa. There is an opinion, which we're going to learn in the next paragraph, but the whole concept of Vest, that a woman has to check at the time of her Vest, is only Darabana. But our Gemara is going according to the assumption that's Daraisa. So therefore, what would be the difference? Given the Vest is Daraisa, if we say that the Vest is something Daraisa, and she has to do the Bedinga, given, there since, the vest is daraisa, boy of dikka, therefore she requires the bedikka, and if not, then we have to assume that she is tamei, at least as far as truma of kodshim, maybe even as far as her husband. Maybe not. Since she's already pregnant, we know she's already 3 months pregnant, she's already showing, and she already has a chazaka that she's not bleeding, loy boy of bedikka, maybe she doesn't require a bedikka.
If it was the rabbanan.
Well, even if it's daraisa, maybe you could say one. No, the chazaka of mesulekas damim during pregnancy removes the need. Right. Amalei. Well, right. If it's darbanan, right, then right. Amalei. So Rabbi Yechonon answers him. Kinesua. We learn it in a Mishnah. It later on in our Masechta. Rabbi Meir im hoisa b'machvei. Rabbi Meir says that if the woman was in hiding in fear for her life, Rashi b'machvei means in a hiding place. So she's hiding out. There's, for example, there's a siege of the city, and at any moment they're going to break in. There's robbers. Unfortunately, there's been enough times in Jewish history that people have had to hide out that we don't need to think of, we can easily all think of examples. Anyway, if a woman is in hiding, the Gia Shas Vesta, and Rav Meir says, if the time of her vest came, Veloid Vodka, and she did not do a Bedikah, Tahara. She's still considered Tahar. We don't consider her to be Tameh, even though you have the usual rule, Odach Vizmanei Ba, that the period usually comes at the expected time. He or not, shecharodem salekas as adomim, because fear takes away the blood. Actually, the Gemara explains later on, we're going to have it. So the Gemara actually talks about there's a difference between a sudden fright versus an ongoing fear. A sudden fright can bring on a pregnancy, whereas an ongoing fear... No, not pregnancy, sorry, I meant menstruation. I meant a period. As opposed to an ongoing one, he says, salekas as adomim.
That's why all these women in these catastrophic situations, they're all giving birth, and so you need a doctor to do the...
No, that's something else. All right.
They can lose their menstruations for a while, or they can have...
Okay, anyway. Okay, so time of the ikka charada. So what are we saying? Why is she tell her... Because we're giving that as an example. We see that Rabbeinu. Hold one second. Time of the ikka charada. What do we see? Only because there's fear, and that makes it that she's not menstruating at the time. Then only then, because of that, is Rabbeinu saying she's to her. Hold like a charada, but implying. But if there was no, if there was no countervailing thing like that, no fear. The higia vest of Leibodka. If her vest came and she didn't do a bedika, we have to assume tamea. Alma Vestis Daraisa. We see, one second, we see therefore, now if the whole thing was Drabbanan, we wouldn't say that. Because of a Drabbanan would not be reason enough. That's a Dini stating. So therefore,
if there's no Charada,
then there has to be a Bedikta. Alma Vestis Daraisa seems to imply, therefore, that Rabbeinu would hold that Vestis Daraisa. Because of course, the kiven de ikka charada. Now, so what can we learn from that? On the other hand, when there is fear, when she is in fear of her life, we say gameha mesulakin, when she has a chazaka that she's not going to be menstruating, v'loy boya b'dika, and therefore a mayor is saying she doesn't require b'dika, hachanami, therefore a mayor says, Rabbi Yechanan says, applying that to our case over here, also gameha mesulakin, being that she's pregnant, she has a chazaka of mesulakas damim, v'loy boya b'dika, and therefore she wouldn't require the b'dika.
It's a special case. You can't infer anything.
No, that's the point. You can't. The reason why Charada is, it's not because there's a special din about Charada. It's because Charada Mesalek is damim. Therefore, the same thing applies to pregnancy. Therefore, the same rule applies to pregnancy. So it means, in other words, as long as there's something that is Mesalekas damim, then she doesn't need Bedikah. But if there's nothing that's Mesalekas damim, then she does. We said Charada, fear, or pregnancy. pregnancy. That's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying.
Yeah.
Well, no, preposterous any of the other cases that we mentioned. I mean, the other ones are not as relevant to this because the other ones we mentioned in the Mishnah, the Sula is before she starts menstruating, the Skena is after she reaches menopause, and the Menikta, I guess,
so
would be another one.
Just talking about Suleika's Damim, interruption of
bleeding. Interruption, right. Right.
Of bleeding.
Yeah. Okay.
And if there's no harada, then she...
If there's no... Right, then she has to check, and if not, then she's tummy. That only works according to the opinion that Vesta Theranisa, right? Okay. Tosfos actually gets into a little bit of discussion how we see from that exactly that a mayor holds vestis deraisa, wouldn't it?
Well,
wouldn't, okay, but, yeah, okay, because
what's the connection? For
The connection for one thing is this that we're saying that she's tmeya automatically implies as deraisa. Otherwise, if it's only derabanan, you wouldn't outright say tmeya. Okay, because also, but still, Tosfos says that seems a little hard to say that. Okay, so because, whatever, Tosfos gets into a discussion based on other Gemaras in our Masechta that discuss this point. Okay, Tosfos ends up saying, when it says, Hadomim, Charodim, Salakas, Hadomim means the blood that's known that would normally be coming at that time. So that implies, in other words, we're talking a Chazaka on a Daraisa level. Okay, Mishnah says, Menikah Achatigma V'chola, a pregnant woman is assumed to be Mesalekas Damim until she weans the baby. And again, here is a real example of Shkanu Achatigim, as you see in our Masechta, because nowadays, you said maybe not most, fine, but a substantial number of women who are nursing nowadays do menstruate, and the ones who are not nursing certainly do, and here Gemara is saying.
What are you saying? A
lot of women who nurse nowadays, who nurse their baby or start menstruating again, and even, and then maybe not a majority, but a substantial number, and certainly among the ones who don't nurse, their periods come back fairly soon. Whereas our Gemara is going to bring you're going to have actually the opinion of three Tanoim, and the halacha is like them that throughout the 24 months after the pregnancy. It's still Cheskas Mesalekas Damim, which is very much unlike the way it is nowadays. If a woman doesn't nurse, then for sure, her periods are going to return in fairly short order. Whereas the three Tanoim over here are going to stay in that
time. They were saying after 3-4 months it should return.
That's fine. The point is...
Unless she's nursing.
Okay, but the point is also Argamar. One second. Let's learn Argamar. If a woman was nursing, and then Rahman al-Assan, the baby died within 24 months, so now she's not nursing anymore, then she goes back to being like all women. The usual rule applies that when she, the next time that she sees a re'iyah, we have to assume back 24 hours or back to the last bedika that she saw me, therefore, suppose that she was nursing him continuously for 4 or 5 years, which the Gemara tells us in Ksubas actually that you're allowed to nurse the baby continuously up until 4 or 5 years old, the Gemara says. Nowadays, it's a highly uncommon thing, but in those times, I guess, when they didn't have formula or whatever, it was a more common thing. And even nowadays, by the way, I've heard of kids who make a bracha before they nurse, so they're old enough to be able to make a bracha. Yeah, okay. Shakol, I suppose. I don't know. They're older now. Okay. So the Gemara talks about over there, there's rules, if the baby was weaned, not because they were sick for more than 3 days, and then they can't go back, et cetera, but whatever. The point is, yeah. So even if she's nursing for 4 or 5 years, daya shaita, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says still daya shaita. As long as she's lactating, then she doesn't have periods, says Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon, I mean, daya shaita. Okay, wait, no, but one second. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon, I mean, Dayan Shaitan, Cholesterol, Va'aba Chodesh. These three Tanoim say no, Daya Shaita only applies for 24 months. And therefore, so if she does end up nursing her baby for 4 or 5 years, doesn't matter. After the 2 years are over, still, you have Meslas and Mepkida Lepkida apply. How do you know the same from their Rebbeim. How do they know? One second. The Gemara says, if you analyze their respective opinions, it comes out, according to Rebbe Meir, why is it that a woman who is nursing doesn't menstruate? Because the blood gets chemically transformed and becomes milk. To put it in modern terms, yeah, milk contains certain things that circulate in the blood. Okay, no, that's what it is. In other words, no, that's what it means. It means physiologic. It means according to modern science. Also, you have, for example, we know that what a woman eats, for example, comes out in her milk because it gets carried in the bloodstream.
Yes.
It gets just, it doesn't mean, okay, when we say over here damn neck of an alcoholic, we don't mean, for example, that a red blood cell, for example, turns into a milk cell. That's not what the Gemara is saying. But it means, in other words, you have you have substances that are transported in the blood, and you have substances that make up, and you have substances that are made up in that you have substances that make up the blood, various proteins and whatnot, where some of them go towards producing milk. Some proteins, for example, in the body are redirected from So that's the coincidence of Mayer. So therefore, coincidence of Mayer, as long as she's nursing, she's not menstruating. Whereas Levivir of Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, the reason why we say 24 months, Evarehem is sparking, because her limbs come apart during the birth. It's a very traumatic process for the body. And her full soul, her full strength doesn't return until 24 months.
This was the plan in the Talmud Gemara.
And that is what I'm saying. There's a clear example in the Shanu HaKevin. Because nowadays, according to them, it comes out, doesn't matter whether she's nursing or not, 24 months always, whereas nowadays, that just doesn't happen. There is a clear case of Nishanu HaKedem. So your medical, that's according to them, and that's the halacha. So therefore, there's a huge difference, therefore, between how it is, la halacha, how it was in the times of the Gemara, versus how it is nowadays. Yeah. But therefore, it also...
That
may be, but the fact is they had enough women that they could ask. They had their wives, they had their daughters, they had the other people, the people in their community. They had and that's how it is.
24 months
to start menstruating normally again, and up until that point, if it happens, it's a fluke. If it happens, then it's a fluke, and therefore die a shite. Whereas nowadays, not a fluke. So the Gemara asked, "Lefichach de Rameyer Lomali? Why do we need Rameyer's Lefichach? We said Rameyer says that if the baby died within 24 months, then she goes back to normal. Therefore, on the other hand, if she's nursing for 4 or 5 years, says Rameyer, then she's still considered not to be menstruating. So why do we need that? What's the chiddush in it? The answer is you're right.
If you're
going by the fact that she's not giving, that she's producing milk, then obviously, as long as she's producing milk, she's not menstruating. The answer is you're right. Mishum lefichach de Rabbi Yosi. Okay, we're not saying there's no chiddush in the lefichach that we said of a mayor, that therefore, if she's nursing for 4 or 5 years, that she doesn't menstruate. The reason why we have it is in parallel with the lefichach of Rabbi Yosi. That, therefore, Rabbi Yosi says Rabbi Yosi and the other Tanoim with him had said that, therefore, he said lefichach, if she's nursing for 4 or 5 years, doesn't matter. After 2 years, the jig is up. So that's the chiddush.
In other words, there's a disconnect between nursing and periods. After 24 months.
Because according to them, it has nothing to do with the nursing. According to them, it has to do with the Avaram Spirkin, that the body
trauma,
like, the trauma of the birth. Right. So why do we need Rabbi Yosi's Lefichach? What's the chiddush? The answer is Ma'od Tamer, Rabbi Yosi Tauti. Because you might have thought, maybe Rabbi Yosi says there are two factors. There's the trauma of the birth, and there's the nursing. And therefore, after 24 months, so therefore, that maybe Rabbi Yosi would say, it's one thing, fine, if she stops nursing within 24 months, fine. She has the 24 months on the grounds of the trauma, on the grounds of Everdemus. Rabbi Yosi would say there's also the fact that she's lactating. No, that's why the Bryce has to say that, no, according to him, it doesn't follow. Okay. Hamash one. In fact, we learn like that in the Braisa. Dam nech of anasa chol of divrei Rameyer. The blood gets transformed and becomes milk. So says Rameyer. Rabbi Yosi Yomer Evreim Espouchen. Rabbi Yosi says that her limbs come apart. And her full strength and her full soul doesn't return until 24 months. Okay.
Wow.
So
could she be pregnant during these 24 months?
It's possible, I guess. But I guess it would be very...
If you don't have a return of menstruation.
Well, keep in mind, think of it. You have ovulation comes about 2 weeks before menstruation, right? So it's very possible it happens.
Before? No.
Every cycle you have, every cycle starts with one of the early things in the cycle
starts
is ovulation. No, it starts with ovulation.
No, it starts with menstruation.
No.
Yes. The end of the previous cycle is the menstruation.
Right, but that's the end of the previous cycle.
Right.
Each cycle begins with an egg being produced. That is ovulation. Then you have, if that egg doesn't get fertilized that cycle, then she menstruates. Then your medical textbooks are telling you something wrong.
No.
I don't know, let's talk about it afterwards, but yeah. No. You have, as a matter of fact.
End of a cycle is when menstruation then starts a new cycle. The peaks of the 14th day
true.
Of ovulation.
That's true.
That's
but
proven because
I'm well aware of that. But
we have, so
what I'm saying is that a cycle does not begin with menstruation. A cycle ends with the lining of the uterus being shed.
Cycle ends with menstruation.
I didn't say otherwise.
And at the same time, the new cycle begins right there.
Okay, but you have a point, think of it. You have a point in a woman's life when she begins menstruating, right?
Yeah.
14 days or thereabouts before that is when she's first ovulated. You wouldn't know it unless she takes an ovulation test or whatever. But the basal body, the test that they do to first ovulation.
The temperature test,
whatever. But that would be the case. You don't have menstruation without a prior, in general, without a prior ovulation. So that's the point. In other words, what we're saying. So yes, it is entirely possible for a woman to not. You can have, for example, let's say a woman gave birth. Let's say she hasn't yet.
You can't have ovulation without menstruation, by the way.
You can have ovulation. But you can't. But the reverse is not true. Menstruation, the actual menstruation. Forget for a moment about other kinds of uterine bleeding. Let's not get into that at the moment. But actual menstruation requires that there was a blood lining or whatever it's called.
Menstruation does not imply ovulation.
Yes, it does.
No.
Okay.
You can have menstruation without, and that happens very often. It's one of the pathologies. You do have menstruation and you don't have ovulation, and it's been concealed, but we've done some studies and that's a fact. But it's not mentioned in the Gemara, obviously.
Okay. The bottom line is the reverse is definitely true. It is possible.
Do you have ovulation without menstruation?
Where there hasn't been menstruation before it is my point. Obviously, if that month the egg doesn't get fertilized, there will be menstruation about 14 days later. That's how it works. Forget about pathologies for a moment. That's the normal way it works. That you have ovulation, and then if the lining that was prepared in connection with
that's exactly.
So that's the point, in other words. So you can have, and this happens occasionally nowadays, that a woman has given birth, let's say, her body is back to normal, she starts ovulating again, and then she becomes pregnant before she even has the next period, because that's what happens. She ovulates, the egg gets fertilized, and therefore there's no menstruation is needed after that.
That's very, very unusual. I'll tell you why it's very, very unusual. Because the pregnancy itself, I'm not talking about the ovulation, the pregnancy itself has to be supported by hormones, and the hormones start kicking in after menstruation.
No, they start kicking in with ovulation.
No.
Yeah.
The ovulation is a result of hormonal changes.
That's true, but those hormonal changes don't. It's the drop in hormone levels that brings about menstruation. We're talking about, though, you have the elevation in them, which brings about ovulation.
After the last menstruation.
Okay. The reason why modern doctors count from the last menstrual period is because it's known for a fact when that was, as opposed to the ovulation, because after all, women have concealed ovulation, you don't necessarily know when it was. If they knew with every woman exactly when ovulation was, they would count.
You can detect an ovulation.
You can, but only if you start taking temperatures or whatever. Women don't bother with that.
You do sonograms.
Okay, they don't do sonograms. They don't do a sonogram the moment of the day a woman becomes pregnant. They do it a couple of months later.
In specific cases,
but in general, they
temperatures do not,
so they fine,
not
but okay, but they usually they count from the last menstrual period for practical reasons because it's easier to know the date of that. But anyway, the bottom line is getting back to here that the bottom line is it is entirely possible for a woman to become pregnant a second time after a previous birth before having had a new menstruation. It is possible, and that's so that's what we're getting at. So Tani Nami Hoche, Dam Nek, Rav Nasa Cholov, Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that the milk gets transformed chemically into milk. Rav Yossi Omer, Evereya Mespalkin. Rav Yossi says that her limbs come apart. They Nafshe Chazer Salad, Esim Ba'ava Chodesh, and her full strength doesn't return until 24 months. Okay. Omer Abiloi, my time at Rav Meir.
Sometimes after a pregnancy, you have a syndrome that they don't get menstruations at all, because all the hormonal mechanisms are being broken through the pregnancy.
So as I said, that probably correlates with the David M. Sparkin. Rabbi Loy, a little bit of a gotcha over here. My time at the mayor, why does your mayor say, where did you get this idea that blood gets transformed into milk? Because you have a pasuk in Eov, mi yiten tahor mitame, who could give, meaning who could bring about that tahor, that something tahor comes from something tame, milk, which is tahor, which is mutar to eat, from blood, which is also to eat, loy echad, isn't it the one Hashem? Marsha explains, in other words, the point is, there was a very common philosophy in those days, you have echoes of it even now in Christianity, that there's a good God, and even there's a God of good and a God of evil, so there was a Goyish philosophy at that time, and you have echoes of it in Christianity, there's no Lahavdil over there, it's both talking about Goyish philosophies. Anyway, that there's a God of good and a God of evil, so therefore, the pasuk is stressing that, no, the same Hashem created purity, created impurity, and they come from the same source, right? So that's an example that you have. Blood transforms into milk. V'rabbanon, okay, so what do the other three Tanoim say to that? Amar Rav Yochanan, and they say, sure, we agree that mi'it and tahor mi'tameh is talking about something tameh transforming into something tahor, but not blood turning into milk, but rather, Amar Rav Yochanan. Yeah, of course. Amar Rav Yochanan, zu shichvas zera shu tameh. This pasuk refers to semen, which itself is tameh. It's metameh, a person who touches it. But adam anotim men are tahor. But a human being is formed from semen, and they're tahor. So there you also have tahor comes from tameh. So you don't need it to.
Tahor doesn't come from you. They can coexist.
No. Forget about coexist.
Semen inside the body.
No. Forget about inside. No. No, once it comes out, it's metallic. But the point is, the point is, in other words, a father produces semen,
yeah,
and he impregnates his wife,
right,
and eventually a baby is formed from that.
Right.
So you have a baby is formed from semen, which is impure, and the baby itself is impure.
The baby is tahor,
sure, unless he becomes tahor from touching something. Why?
When he's born tahor, he's got all the blood and everything.
Yeah. But anyway, afterwards also, throughout his life, he can become Tomei, sure, a human being can become Tomei, but in and of himself, he's Tahor. Neshama Shanafati, Tahor.
And so therefore...
So there's another example of Miyit and Tahor Vitomei. So Rav Yossi and the other Tanoim with him say, the connection is, you have something Tahor comes from something Tomei, a human being who's Tahor. Okay, the point is, Rav Meir wants to say, there is a proof in the pasuk that Dam Nek of an Asachol. Rav Yossi and company are saying, not necessarily. The pasuk is not necessarily referring to blood and milk at all. The pasuk is referring to another example where you have Tahor coming from Tomei. Zero Balazon is according to the man. That is the blood.
Me
yitin tahor mitame loy echad. Who could make
right.
that tahor comes from tame? Isn't it the one Hashem?
Right.
So the mayor is saying that refers to milk, which is tahor, coming from blood, which is tame.
Right. But the dam nekar, the pasuk.
The pasuk doesn't say dam nekar. The chachamim are saying dam nekar. The blood gets chemically transformed and becomes milk, meaning that there's some fraction of the blood, there's some fraction of blood plasma or whatever it is, I don't know exactly, that becomes Virabalaza says a different explanation. Elu mehanida. The miyit and tahor mitame refers to the paradrum of water, where we have the famous paradox with it. Shamaze umazin olav tahor. A person who sprinkled it, and the one who it sprinkled on are tahor, v'negeya tamei. But the one who touches it, not for the purpose of sprinkling, becomes tamei. So there's another example of miyis and tahor mitamei. So when someone says, what do you mean, a maza tahor? What do you mean, the one who sprinkles the paradrumal water remains tahor? The pasuk says, a maza meha nida yichabes radim. The pasuk says, the one who sprinkles the meha nida, the paradrumal water, has to, his clothes, well, when it says, whenever the pasuk says his clothes have to be washed, meaning he himself is tamei and his clothes are also.
We have this point of discussion, but once he sprinkles the water, he becomes, and you said, no, it's not.
Yeah, that's the what Gemara is taking up, that point over here, yeah. So the question is, the pasuk clearly says the one who sprinkles it, his clothes become tamei, which of course means he himself becomes tamei. So what do you mean that the one who sprinkles it remains tahor? The answer is my maze negeya. The word maze in the pasuk does not mean the one who sprinkles it. It means one who touches it without sprinkling it. What do you mean? You have a pasuk that says the one who sprinkles, and you have another pasuk that says the one who touches it. The same pasuk says maze me'anidi yichabes godem v'anegeya me'anidi yitmad arev. But oy maze boy kibus negeya loy boy kibus. And also we see in the pasuk that there's a difference. The one who sprinkles it, pasuk says he and his clothes become tamei. The one who touches it, only he becomes tamei, but his clothes do not. So what do you mean? You're telling me that the maze remains tahor? Ella, no, we have to correct that. My maze noise. The word maze in the pasuk does not refer to somebody who touches it, because you're right, the pasuk mentions touching separately. It means somebody who carries it. And he carries the parabim of water without touching it. He carries the water, but he carries it by itself. So the question is, the list of noise. In that case,
Said
in that case, it should have said no. Tosfos points out, okay, what makes us say that the word mazah should mean something else or that should mean no? Tosfos says the reason is because the pasuk says v'hizah tohor ala tameh, the tohor should sprinkle on the tameh, meaning that he remains tohor even after he sprinkles. So on the other hand, because that's what it means. Otherwise, it didn't have to say the word hatohor. Because otherwise, it could have said v'hizah ala tohor, v'hizah ala tameh. So v'hizah tohor ala tameh, v'hizah tohor, the tohor one should sprinkle ala tameh. Mashma, Tosfos says, that implies true tohor lo'olam, that he remains tohor. Actually, elsewhere, the Gemara also learns it from a Kal v'chomer, but anyway, okay. So that's how it is. So the question,
even like a simple, at the time of sprinkling, he's tohor.
That's what we mean. The sprinkling itself doesn't make him tohor. We don't mean that he's immune to tumah for the rest of his life, obviously.
No. But the sprinkling keeps him tohor.
He doesn't become tummy from sprinkling the paradrum of water on somebody else.
But
unlike
the
simple,
because the
Gemara is saying it. Tosfos is explaining what forces
right,
the Gemara to say
it.
Right. Okay. So the question is, Velichtiv Noise, so why does the Pasuk outright say the one who carries it? The answer is Kamash Malon. The reason why the Pasuk uses the expression Mazah is to add the Dori Kashir Hazar. Only if he carries a minimum amount that is needed for Hazar, only then does he become Tame. So if he were to carry one drop of paradrum of water, he would not become Tame. That's why it uses the word Mazah. No, we're going to see a second. So the question is, Hanichalam Ander Ama Hazar Tzri Kashir. That works according to the opinion that there's a minimum amount you need for Hazar. There's a minimum amount of water
before
that needs
to get into that. What you said before that. So why do we still say Mazah instead of saying?
That's why, because the word, if it only said Noisa, you would think even if you carried one drop of it. By saying Mazah means it does have to be that you carry it, but you have to carry the amount that could be used for Hazar. So the question is, that works according to the opinion that says that Hazar requires a minimum shear. There's a minimum amount of water that needs to land on the person or the keli or whatever. But according to the opinion, that there's no shear necessary. Even a microscopic drop falls on it is enough. Then what are you going to say? There's no minimum amount for Hazar. The answer is that, yes, but even according to the opinion that it doesn't require shear, that means where it lands on the person who was tamei, let's say there's no minimum shear that has to land on him to make him tahor. But when the water is in the vessel, but in a shear, everybody would agree. Even that opinion agrees you need a minimum amount in there in order to be able to do hazah. Mana means a keli. Because the word keli is Hebrew and the word mana is Aramaic. Mana
is a keli. Yeah.
As in fact, we learn in the Mishnah in Parah, Kama Yuba Mayim B'Yeheba and Kedei Hazah, how much water does there have to be in order to be able to accomplish Hazah? The amount is Kedei Sheyitbo Rosh Giv Erlin V'Yazah. You have to have at least enough to be able to dip in the tips of the stalks of Ezov and be able to sprinkle. Meaning, in other words, the Ezov in English is called, in the translations of Tanakh, they translate it as Hyssop. It's an herb. It's oregano more. It's oregano or some related species to oregano or whatever. The leaves of it are kind of spongy. So if you have only a tiny bit of water in there and you try to get some onto the azov, if you don't have enough water in there, you're not going to be able to dip the azov in. You're going to have to basically wipe the azov on the side of the keli in order to get any water in. And then, of course, so you have to have enough so that you don't have to wipe it, that you actually can dip it in. And some of it is going to get absorbed, and there'll still be enough on the surface to be able to sprinkle. So that means you need
to sprinkle with azov.
You have to sprinkle with azov, and it has to be enough water that, A, you're not wiping the azov against the side of the keli or the bottom of the keli. You're actually dipping it in. You know, there has to be enough to dip in. And second of all, that the water that gets absorbed, some water is going to get absorbed in it, and there has to still be enough on the surface of the leaves to be able
That's
to sprinkle.
That's
why you have a shear. Exactly.
So why don't we give this reason rather than saying just no say?
That's the point. If it said no say, we wouldn't know that dip.
Okay,
because the word mazah implies that he sprinkles, right, meaning you need an amount of water that's sufficient to be able to dip the azov and sprinkle.
Right, but where do we know that it has to be an azov?
That we know from earlier psukim. It says it in you. Lock up azov atav of my mishtar. We have earlier psukim earlier. Okay. So that's another example where you have that somebody is so somebody touches or carries paradrum water, they become tummy. If they only touch it, then only they become tummy. If they carry a minimum amount of it, then they and their clothes become tummy. So there's another example of me as a tummy.
They're
tummy. But if they only carry it, not for the purpose of sprinkling, then they become tummy.
So, do they have to be tar to sprinkle the paradigma?
Yes. The lock of Ezeb Tavo Bamaim Ish Tar, the Pasuk says. The tar, it has
someone
to be.
Someone else needs to carry it.
No, so it means, in other words, he's carrying it for the purpose of sprinkling, and that's fine.
But if he carries...
If he carries it not for the purpose of sprinkling, then he's going to become Tommy.
For the purpose of sprinkling,
he's going to become Tommy. Right. Vahainu to Omer Shlomo, and this we see that Shlomo expressed in Kehelis, famous thing, that Shlomo, who was the wisest of all men, expressed how he couldn't understand this. Omauti Echkoma, he says in Kehelis, I thought that I would be wise to it, why it is that part of Adrum and water is Matame one person and Matame a different person, and Matame a different person. Vihi Rechoika mi many, but it remains distant from me, I can't figure it out.
Why don't we say Shlomo was the most brilliant man amongst all men, the most intelligent? When he did all the stupid things he did.
He didn't do all the stupid things. First of all, to marry the daughter of Paroi.
He has so many wives.
To marry the daughter of Paroi, as we said the other day, he was Megayer her. Should it have been Namah Tchila? No, but he meant it L'shem Shemayim. He wanted not just her, but all the other nations to be attracted to Judaism, to be attracted to Torah. So he was doing
his mission. If Hashem had wanted that, he would have ordered us.
Actually, it is our mission. We are meant to, okay, not to Judaism per se, but the Shevet Mitzvot B'nei Noach, whatever. That is our mission, in fact. That is why Hashem put us. Nowadays, Hashem sent us into Golos, and the idea is that we interact with the Goyim around us and then elevate them that way. The idea in those days was the other way around. Shlomo is going to be in wealth and splendor, and the Jewish people are going to be in wealth and power in Eretz Yisrael, and all the other nations around the world are going to be attracted to come to them to learn about Hashem. It did happen at that time, unfortunately not as much as it should have, partly because Shlomo went about it the wrong way, but still he was very wrong. In particular, for example, this idea that he wasn't careful about the motives of his wife, that later on in life they ended up reverting to Avodah Zarah and he didn't protest against them. He was old and weak, and he didn't get the strength together to do it. There was intelligence, and then there was,
intelligence faith.
No, it's not so much intelligence faith. He had his chokhmah, but he also,
his weaknesses.
Yeah, person has weaknesses, yeah. Okay, anyway, the point is that, so there we have various examples of miyis and tarah mitameh. Fine. We said in the Mishnah, Ezu is Kena Kosha over Alea Sholosh Onis Sapapo Zignasa. We said the fourth case in the Mishnah is an old woman, where she's menopausal, where then again Daya Shaita, and what's considered old is when three Onis, three regular periods of hers have passed, Somoch Lezignasa, after the time of her old age. So the question is, hey, she done with Somoch Lezignasa. So what's considered at the time of her old age? It seems like a circular definition, kind of.
Why is it secular?
Well, because how do you know when the Sholosh Onis are Samach L'Zignasa? How do you know when she's reaching old age? The Samach when she's missing periods. But then if she's missing periods, we say after the three periods themselves that she missed, that would be Samach L'Zignasa. So how do we define it? When her friends say about her that she's old, then that's considered that she's old. And then after that, if she misses three periods. But if Shimon, Shimon Lockish says on the side.
Sarah, she was 99. She never had a menstruation before.
Actually, she did. That's why we have the famous thing. That's why we have the famous thing that the bread that she was preparing for the malachim at the beginning of Parshas Vayera. Abraham says the eschal paslechem, and he goes to Sarah and he tells him make three saw of bread. But then when it says the meal that he served them, it doesn't say he served him bread. The Gemara explains in Bava Metzia, Rashi brings it on the topic that she became refined masa, whatever masa is a type of bread, isn't it? But whatever, masa is a type of bread. You say hamotzi lachem min ha'aretz, do you not?
Doesn't mean it's bread.
It's bread. It's bread of a different type. It's just bread that hasn't had yeast put in it. But it's still bread. It's still made from flour and water.
Because
she became Tameh. She became Nidah. So she became Tameh, and therefore the bread became Tameh. That's why she didn't serve it. Right.
She used to serve only when she was
Tameh. They would only serve food that was Tameh. The Gemara says Abraham was Ochel Cholim B'Tara. He followed the standards of Tameh even with the Cholim. Okay. Anyway, but if Shimon...
This is after
Hashem had renamed her, but before this is a year before Yitzchak was born, 6 months or whatever before Yitzchak was born. Yeah. Okay. Rav Shimon, Lakish, it says on the side of it here, says, no, the definition of an old woman, if they call her Ima, which in Gemara times, calling someone Ima was like nowadays, you call her Savka, right? It's a term of respect for an older lady, they ain't a Bosha, and she's not embarrassed to it. Tosfos points out from the Yerushalmi, we don't actually mean that we actually call her
that. She
fine, but then whatever, we don't mean Safdaz and her grandchildren are calling. Tosfos says what it means, kosher uya, the Kroita Ima, where she's of the age already that it's reasonable to call her Ima. Okay. Reina Boshan, she's not embarrassed. Rav Zera and Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak. Then Rav Zera and Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak have an argument within that definition. Chad Amar Kol She'ena Makpedes. One says the definition is when they call her Ima and she doesn't mind it, she doesn't object. Chad Amar Kol She'ena Bosha. And the other one says, well, she's not embarrassed. So the question is, my benayah, what's the practical difference? The answer is, ikka benayah bosha v'ena makpedes. If she's embarrassed inwardly, but she doesn't verbally say, don't be calling me that. The halacha, the vast majority of poskim, paskim, like the opinion that once she's embarrassed, not when she's not. So even if she doesn't say so, so the Taz is machmer. The Taz learns the turd on the Shulchan Aruch to be saying the stricter standard. When she actually says, don't wait. Oh, sorry. One second. Makpedes is the, let's see a second. Boisha, when she's embarrassed but not yet ready to say it, that can be at an earlier stage than Makpedes.
Right.
So the Taz learns the more stricter standard. It has to actually be Makpedes. That she actually verbally says, don't be calling me old. Up until that point, she's still considered young. As opposed to the vast majority of posts, can say no. It's enough that she feels embarrassed internally. To already
enough that she loses three periods and then
no, because it could happen sometimes in the middle of a woman's life that she misses three periods. Okay.
Obviously, then we wouldn't call her old.
But that's the point. In other words, once she's old enough to be called old, if then she misses three periods, then we say Gaya Shaita.
And if she didn't, and she has periods, let's say later in her life it happens.
Yeah.
So then what?
So that's what we're going to talk about. So first of all, kama oina, what is considered an oina for this purpose? Oina being a shloshim yom, it means the average length oina, which is 30 days. You, by the way, have, there's an interesting thing when it comes to Hilchos Nida and certain other areas of halacha also. You have certain svarim where you have the mechaber of the sefer wrote many things and wrote many important explanations and many chidushim and all, but the Velt kind of knows him only for one particular thing that he said. Here we have an example of that. There's a sefer by one of the achronim on Yerodea called Chavos Das. It's an important commentary on Yerodea.
By
Rabbi Yaakov of Lissa, who was one of the great poskim in the early 1800s.
Where?
Yeah, he lived someplace in Poland or Lithuania or whatever. I don't know. He's well known enough among Rabbi Yaakov of Lissa. He wrote a sefer called Chavos Das. It's a comprehensive commentary on Yerodea. But everybody knows him for one particular thing that he says in connection with our Gemara over here. Now, when we have, nowadays, when a woman is counting her cycles and figuring out when she has to do bedikas and when she has to go to the mikveh or whatever, again, because most women nowadays have irregular cycles, one of the cycles they have to keep is the oina beninus that we're referring here in the Gemara. They have to assume 3 days from their last period is the expected time when the next...
Even though they have an irregular one,
because 30 is the average for most women. Now, so the Chavos Das points out, based on analyzing our Gemara over here, that it seems the Oina Beninus should actually be the 31st day, not the 30th day, based on the continuation of our Gemara over here. So you have some people on Machmer like him, and they hold that Oina Beninus is the 30th, and because you have the other person would say the 30th. So
right.
Some people on Machmer like both, but the majority of people they keep Oina Beninus, both the 30th and the 31st.
It doesn't impact anything.
Well, it impacts the days that they can't have relations, right?
No, but it doesn't impact the cycle.
No, it doesn't impact the actual length of the cycle, no. So there's an example. So you have, like everybody knows, that everybody who learns in Hilchos Nida, they come across the Chavos Das in this connection, but, like, otherwise people don't necessarily come across
it. Example, and after Das Nadam.
Well, there's that too, right?
They don't care about who was the Rav Yaakov of Litau. Could have been a great Talmid Chacham, but just remember that.
Okay. Anyway, the Oina Beninus Shloshim Yom. Rava says in the name of Rav Chista, actually it's 20 days. How do you get 20? The Gemara says, well, please. They're not actually arguing. Mar kachoshiv yimei tumav yimei tahara. Rav Shlokish in the name of Rav Yehuda Nasiya is including the yimei tumav yimei tahara. Umar loy choshiv yimei tumav, whereas Rava from Rav Chista is not counting the yimei tumav. One second. Rashi explains what that means. It's like this. In a woman's cycle, hold on. In a woman's cycle, you have 7 days of Nida,
right,
where she could be bleeding during any time during those 7 days,
right,
still all the same 7 days.
Then
you have 7 days of Nida. Then after that, Rashi says you can have 3 days of Ziva, which are enough to make a Zava Gola. So that's 10. If you subtract those 10 from 30, then you have 20. So in other words, Rava, in the name of Rav Chista, is counting only the clean days. Where's Rabbi Hood? Where's Rish Lakish? It's counting all 3 days. Tosfos points out that still doesn't work because Ziva, by definition, is something unusual. No, Ziva, by definition, the period of Ziva is 11 days. But usually she's not expected to bleed during any of those 11 days.
Right.
Bleeding during the Yemei Ziva is something unusual. It's something sort of pathological. That to become a Zavag Gola, right, it's considered something pathological. It's not something normal.
Right.
So how do you say that every month?
Right.
So Tosfos rather brings a different process, prefers a different Girsa, that Rav Chista is saying not 20 days, but 23 days. So you have 7 years. You have 7 days of your main year, and then the remaining 23 are what we're considering as length of a cycle. That's Tosfos. Yeah. Now let's talk about your case. An old woman where 3 cycles have passed, the rasa, and then that's the point, right? So we defined before what skena is. So skena sha'over alei shalosh oynos. So a skena where 3 periods have passed, 3 times 30 days, let's say, the rasa, and after that she does have bleeding.
Right.
Nevertheless, dayashaita. Then we still say dayashaita because it's still assumed that this is a fluke. She already went through menopause. Now the fact that she has bleeding, well, that's why. What does dayashaita mean? It means that we consider it a fluke. Meaning we don't consider her tummy retroactively for 24 hours before.
Oh,
that's the idea. Yeah. So then what happens if another three onus pass and then again she has a flow? One second. No. Well then if that. Still dayashaita because 2 times is not enough to take away the chazaka. But oid over alel shalosh onus v'rasa. Then if another 3 onus pass and then she has her ear harei kahal noshim, then she's back to being like other women. Or matama masles kiddul kiddul. Okay. And the Gemara adds the loy miboya shakivna. Needless to say that this would apply. Actually, miboya we take out based on the Gemara that we're going to see. So not the loy shakivna. Not if she had, we're not talking about where she had the period exactly the same number of days apart, like for example, every 91st day on the dot.
Shekivna means
that she came out on the exact same day. In other words, again, up until now, she was having periods, let's say, every 3 months.
Right.
So now we said 3 months. So let's take the example. Let's say, for example, that she had, up until now, she had a regular, okay, so we said no, 3 days, let's say, fine. So let's say, for example, we start from the beginning of Tishrei. We have 3 months here. She expected to, she up until now, her regular periods were on the first day of the month. So up until now, she was having Aleph Tammuz, Aleph Av, Aleph Ever, let's say, whatever. Let's forget for a second the fact that some months are long and some months are short, to keep things simple. So let's say her next one was expected Aleph Tishrei. It didn't come. Aleph Cheshvan also not, Aleph Kislev also not. Now she's missed 3 years. Now she has a Chazaka, that she's menopausal. If now she were to have one sometime during Tavis, then, okay, dayashaita, it's a fluke. If she has another one 3 months later on Aleph Nisan, also still dayashaita. We still assume it to be a fluke. If she has one on Aleph Tammuz, so then that's cheshvan. Tevis, then Nisan, then Tammuz. Then she's back to normal. She has a 90-day cycle. So that's the same. Loi shekivna, it doesn't even have to be to say that mesles would not even be if it was exactly the same number of days each time. Each time, let's say it was on the 91st day. El afilo pichsa vafilo hoisira, vafilo hoisira, even if it was slightly less or slightly more. For example, let's say after the 3 that she missed, let's say the next one, let's say beginning from the next one after that, then you have, let's say, 91 days after that, 92 days after that, 93 days after that. It's, you know, a little bit of.
Let's say she didn't have 9 months of periods, and then she had every 3 months she had a period.
So now she hasn't.
She's there. Is she considered?
Is
she considered a young woman again?
For that purpose, yes, it's considered. She has an unusually long cycle. She's not a skena, right?
Okay.
Exactly, and therefore math less. So that's what we're saying. It doesn't even have to be that everyone came on the dot, let's say, 90 days later. It could even be it was 89, it was 91, or whatever. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? What are you saying? Even if it was a little bit less, needless to say, if it was exact, the logic is the other way. Tikivna kavala vesta. If she has exactly every 90 days, let's say, then it means she has a new vest every 90 days, and therefore, anyway, the daya shaita. So what do you mean that she's going back to the kiddul of kiddah? It's a mass less. The whole point, if she has a vest,
yeah,
dayashaita. If it is regular, then we should say dayashaita. Not on the grounds that she's menopausal, but on the grounds that she has a very regular cycle. So you can answer this brayta that goes according to the chachamim that disagree with Rav Dosa, where we learned the other day, the Amri, where they say isha sheyesh levest matamalas masles, where they say even if she does have a regular predictable vest, still we say she still has the masles. You still, every time she has a flow, we assume it may have started up to 24 hours before. If that was according to them, then the brayta should be saying the other way around. Vilema, the brayta should be expressing it. The loisha piksav ha'isira, we're not talking about if it's a little more or a little less than 90 days. El afilu kivna, but even if it was exactly 90 days every time, nevertheless, we say that mesles, because we hold that even a vest doesn't take away the requirement for mesles. The answer is, you're right, flip around the brayzit, say not, we're not talking about that she did a little more or less, but even if kivna, even then the chachamim would say that still mess less, because they hold that a vest doesn't take that away.
The only problem with all this is that how can you consider the S the S for periods of time every 2 months?
Well, what it means, what
that's
is it?
Not, that's not no. comparable to regular.
That's fine, but what does it mean? What does it mean, mass
less? Instead of 30 days or 20
days. No, fine, but what does it mean, mass less? It means that if she sees the bleeding, let's say, at noon on a Wednesday, then she has to be suspicious that it may have started right after noon on Tuesday. So that rule will apply, whether that rule will apply in this case.
The same as a regular woman. That's still 3 months later.
It doesn't matter. The fact that now, three times already, she's bled again at regular or near regular intervals, it may be unusually long intervals, but they're still, yeah.
They certainly are unusually long, but that's,
okay.
That's even beyond that. The point is, a regular woman doesn't wait 3 months to have a regular period.
That's true, but nevertheless, the fact is, now she's having uterine bleeding again, whatever. Because we can see it every 90 days or approximately every 90 days. Okay, it means
a normal period.
Okay, it means some kind of uterine bleeding, which is enough to be metameha. The Iboisema Hochikama, or you could say what the Braisa means, is Veloisha Kivna Elisha Pichsavaisira. The Braisa might instead mean that it means it wasn't an exact 90 days, but it was a little bit more or a little bit less each time. Avo Kivna, but the Braisa might mean exactly that. If it was Kivna, if it was exactly 90 days, then indeed, Kavala vest. Now she has a new vest exactly every 90 days, the Daya Shaita, and therefore we say Daya Shaita, Umani Rabdoisihi, and therefore this Braisa would be according to Rabdoisa, with a Chachamim disagree and say a vest is not enough to make Daya Shaita. But Abdosis says it is.
The Chachamim would say what?
The Chachamim would still say Mesles. Even though she has a fully regular vest. And it wouldn't matter whether her regular vest is 20 days or 30 or 50 or 90 or whatever. Because
yeah.
The Chachamim said, always, except for the four women of our Mishnah, always Mesles. Abdosis says if she has a vest, then that's good enough. Daya Shaita. Because he says, Orach Bizmanim, the period comes at its expected time.
You can argue with that, but Zmanim means 30 days or 20 days, not
right.
3 months.
No, but that doesn't matter. The point. As far as the Chachamim are, as far as Halacha is concerned, we don't really care about the actual length of the cycle. Yes, it's usual that it's every 30 days, and that's relevant as far as establishing Oinah Beinon is, but other than that, we don't really care whether this particular woman has cycles of 20 days or 30 or 90 or what have you. It doesn't really matter. As long as it has a certain regularity, then it's considered a regular one in Halacha.
That means at those times, women who had periods in between, but after 30 days, regular periods every 90 days, I'm sorry, could become pregnant.
Could they become pregnant? Basically, but not everybody who menstruates can become pregnant, right? I mean, there are any number
of reasons
for it all, but yeah. Okay. Okay. I guess we'll stop over here.